Live from the center of the Razorback universe.
The only radio show Razorback fans need to listen to.
Unbiased and unafraid.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ruskin and Zach.
Ruskin and Zach on the radio in Northwest Arkansas on ESPN 99.5 around the state on ESPN Arkansas. Streaming on hitthatline.com. We have to start with this. I've been planning 2 days to start with this.
Okay.
We found the most perfect turnover prop in all of college football on Saturday when Ole Miss gets a turnover and starts celebrating with a bag of money on the sideline. How perfect is that? I'm going to like this Lane Kiffin guy. He's trying to catch the spread in the final minutes of the game because he knows it. He's got a bag of cash on the sideline as the turnover prop. I mean, this is just beautiful, beautiful trolling.
They lost by 30.
They lane train.
Okay. I mean, as long as they're covering and they got a bag of money on the sidelines.
I loved it. I mean, it's so perfect because that's the whole, all the recent allegations and everything. And, of course, you also know it's great when the mainstream elites like Dari Noka are like, oh, I think they need to change that turnover prop by next week. That means it's perfect, and they don't need to change a thing. So that was, I'm like, oh, they're really doing this. They're really doing
it's
this.
It's the University of Mississippi. What'd you expect?
They're really doing this. They're celebrating with a bag of money on the sideline. Like they're Monopoly Man or something.
They're going to talk. Even though they're down 30, they're still going to talk. Welcome to the University of Mississippi.
And while we were doing the Zoom broadcast on Facebook on Saturday during the game with Zach and myself and Jessica, it brought up because we were talking after Arkansas's turnovers that they didn't have a prop. Mm. And, all the old farts get pissed off. They don't need a turnover prop. That's fine. You need a turnover prop. Everyone's got one. And it brought back our discussion
last year
of the turnover, which is, let's go down this road for a minute. They need one of these Sam's, backyard pizza ovens.
The first interception that Mathis threw, they run off the field. He runs over to an easy bake oven, puts on these huge mitts and a chef's hat.
A big chef's hat.
And they pull out the turnover.
That's right. Yes. 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 I think
that's perfect.
For optic purposes, I think the Easy Bake's a little small, so I would go Sam's pizza oven. The big half circle thing.
Yeah, but then you're wheeling that thing in and out.
That's okay.
I mean, every week. I don't know that a pizza oven's what you want to do.
Your sideline consists of, we got benches, we got fans, we got the headset gear, and a pizza oven.
What if you got the big green egg to sponsor it?
There you go.
And you have a smoke machine in there, he opens it up and pulls it.
Oh, you can make turnovers on the big green egg, can't you? Yeah. That's another sponsor.
It's heat and fire, right?
So that's right.
I think you can do that.
Yeah, but I want to go all the way with this. I want big, like a hamburger helper oven mitts.
I want
the hats.
I want you to look like the Swedish chef.
Yes.
When you pull that thing out.
Here comes a hurdy-burdy, hurdy-burdy.
Right. That's what I want.
That's what they got to do. So they need a turnover prop. And I don't want to hear from any of you old people that are like, we don't need that. That's stupid. You know what? It's fun.
We've run all the old
people. What's wrong with that? I love Miami's got these giant rings now and the turnover. It's totally over the top, and it's beautiful.
The U is like Oregon with the uniforms. They just keep changing it year to year.
They're going to have a trunk like Carrot Top with all their props in it.
You get to go in and pick what you want. It's like the thing at the dentist's office.
Treasure chest.
Right. Georgia's got those stupid shoulder pads with the spikes.
Yes.
That's an ode to the...
Yes.
What were they?
The Legion of Doom.
Right.
Hawk and Animal.
WCW wrestlers.
R.I.P. I think they were in both, but yeah. Mm. Hawk and Animal. One of them died a couple weeks ago. So R.I.P. Mm. The Legion of Doom. So that's the first thing, is that the Ole Miss prop... And some of these PC losers are going to make them change it. And I'm just like, no. Lane... Keep going, man.
But if you're gonna do it, if you're going to commit to the bit, lean into
That's right. You got to
lean into it.
Got a bag of money at Ole Miss.
How much money though?
I don't know.
Was it enough?
It's a burlap sack with a big dollar sign on the side. The only thing more perfect is if Cam Newton celebrated with one of those. That would be even more perfect because his dad got the money from Auburn.
That's correct.
Cecil. So beautiful. That was my favorite part. of the weekend. And now we can get to the other stuff. And you can get in here, by the way, by texting us at 866-285-4005 or calling us, 866-285-4005. Here's what we're going to do on Mondays going forward. We're not going to have any guests on Mondays because I just don't feel like that's necessary.
There's too much to
discuss. That's right. There's too much to cuss and discuss on Mondays, so we don't need guests. And so we're not going to book them. I mean, unless, like, you know, like, we can get somebody big, well, then we'll do that.
But no, I mean, we've got enough to discuss on a Monday. Yeah. We've got some special teams to talk about.
Yeah.
Offense, defense.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. You know what is interesting is the way that Kendall Briles is skating around. Like, he's getting nothing for the incredibly bad game plan that the Arkansas offense had for this game on set. He is skating like Brian Boitano over the last 48 hours. Okay. Everyone's piling on Scott Fountain. Mm-hmm. Everyone's praising Barry Odom.
Deservedly so. They're piling on Scott
I understand
Fountain.
That. But Kendall Briles is just, nobody's saying a word about it.
Okay, so the reverse. Can we just start there? I sent a text because, let's be honest, I'm not an expert in this field. I sent a text to a person who calls plays in the NFL, a person who calls plays in college, and a person who calls plays in high school. And they said the exact same thing when I went reverse in your own red zone to a guy that doesn't do a whole lot. And you know what I got back?
What?
Oh, it didn't fire. What's up with that?
Is it not playing?
No, it's not playing.
Try it again.
No.
They didn't know what he was doing. And there were a couple of F-bombs in between, especially one of them. What the bleep is he doing? Then you ding him for a 25-yard gain on a simple crossing route with your best player. Then you're going to let your best player throw the ball? Can we pass a law? Can we pass a freaking law right now? If you're Treylon Burks, you are allowed to catch it, run it, and that's about it.
And you can field it on, like, kicks. But I don't even want you doing that because that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Like, Treylon Burks throwing a pass is, it's like, you hear all the time, well, we've got to figure out creative ways to get the ball in his hands. Creative is good. Creative is good.
I love creative.
But not, but don't, you don't find stupid ways to get the ball into his hand. I said that is a dumb ass play call when he threw that ball.
Well,
it is not his fault. It is his coordinator's fault for putting him in a position to fail. And I don't care how many times you repped it during the week. That was dumb. That was dumb. Kendall Briles, this is a real conference, the SEC. I don't care what you did in the Big 12 because that's chicken bleep radio, all right? This is the real league here. You can't get cute, and you certainly can't get cute on your own 5-yard line, you imbecile. Oh, I couldn't believe those two moments.
First thing
that
came out of my mouth was Sam Pittman's got to rein him in. They've got to have a talk because
Pittman got on it pretty good today in the press conference.
There's just too much freedom there because there is no way in that situation when you're backed up, you're running a reverse to TJ Hammonds, and then the
flea flicker. We don't even know if he can play.
We don't. And the flea flicker thing, you just gained 30 yards. What are you? What? I would love to know what you're thinking. Because the three guys that I talked to have no clue.
I will say this about the Pittman press conference today. I went into it with the biased opinion that the offense wasn't good. So when I heard him say several things over and over again about the offense, I thought he got after Briles without getting after Briles pretty good in the press conference today. We'll play some of that for you coming up here in a little bit.
And then the most alarming thing to come out of the press conference was they lined up on special teams twice. Not once, but twice with 10 guys.
That's what he said, yes.
They gave up almost 50 yards per kickoff return and almost 20 yards per punt return.
Yes.
Can we put a media ban on special teams features?
Well,
maybe.
Contrary to what the state media told you, Scott Fountain is not a genius.
No.
I know that comes as an alarm to you. And I've tried to tell you, you and I have had this relationship on the radio for 12 years. I've tried to tell you for a long time, when you see 7 or 8 different puff pieces on one part of the football season, it's not going to go well during the season.
No.
Here we are again with the special teams. Zach, the defense got what I consider 12 stops in the game against Georgia.
Yeah.
And I know Georgia's offense is a mess right now, but still, that's 12 stops. They got 7 punts, 2 field goals, that's a stop, an INT, a fumble, and they got a turnover on downs.
Yes.
The offense, if the offense has its act together, Arkansas could have very well not only been close, they could have won this football game.
Let's hold up right there. I mean, at one point, you got outscored 32-3. So, you know what? They had an opportunity. Look, they
got outscored because who wasn't scoring?
They checked,
the offense.
They checked box number one, which was get a game against a really good team into the second half. There are some things that you can look at and say, okay, this went well.
The defense gave up 30, which in my book, in modern college football, that's enough.
That's good enough.
They did more than enough. But the other two phases just blew the whole thing up for them.
When Sam Pittman goes on his Zoom and says, we can't get lined up right, we have communication problems.
We'll get to some of that here coming
up. Oh, no. Oh, hell no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
We'll hear
6 weeks.
We'll hear from Sam Pittman when we come back, and we'll do news as well here on Manic Monday, brought to you by Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Ruskin and Tech.
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans.
This is Ruskin and Zach.
Hi, we're back. Good to have Nikki Chavanel with us again. Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals. She keeps signing up for these interviews. We're not quite sure why, but she is here on Ruskin and Zach. Good afternoon, Nikki.
Hey guys, how's it going?
One of these days you're going to realize what this is doing to your rep.
That's right.
Nah, we're good. We're cut from the same cloth, you guys.
I hope not.
Let's talk gambling, because you're a gambling columnist now as well with college football a little bit.
Yeah, well, I asked around the other rivals SEC sites, and none of them really did any betting content, and it was something that I would want to read, so I decided I would just go in head first, no experience, and just take a stab at it. And my boyfriend Ben, I guess, you know, back in college when guys tend to start gambling, I guess he got into it, so he was able to explain everything that I didn't already know, and we made our first week picks together. I'm sure this week I'll be able to do it by myself, but it was a great experience in week one. Kept me very entertained during some games that I don't think I would have really cared too much about otherwise, and I actually came up positive. So, big first week.
Did you, you had Arkansas plus
28? I did, yes.
Okay.
So I won that one, and then I say put because it's fake money. I don't actually bet, although while I'm watching the games, I do very much treat it like I have money on the line. So I did put $10 down on Arkansas winning out. I thought that would be a big payoff. It was worth it and very little risk. So I went with that, obviously.
Okay.
Worked out.
So Pittman already. I mean, right. Good coaches win, great coaches cover. He's 1-0 against
Spurs. Now, are you only betting college?
I'm just betting the SEC, too, because I also, like, I wanted more incentive to be in tune to all these games. Arkansas is playing more SEC teams this year, so it's a good opportunity to really pay attention to the other game.
So if you were because I am getting ready this weekend to place my first wager on college football ever. I've narrowed it down to a couple of games. Let's say you've got two 0-3 teams, say, I don't know, Minnesota and your Houston Texans. Both teams suck. I mean, do you go with your heart or do you go with your head and pick the Vikings?
So there's like so many different bets that you can take if you want them. Like you can do the spread, you can do the total. So if I'm not feeling one thing, I'll just go with something else. Last week I didn't even bet on the Texas A&M Vanderbilt game, and thank God I didn't, because I don't think anyone predicted that. So if I'm not that interested in it, or I don't feel very strongly any particular way, I'm not going to place a bet just to place one. But I am trying to at least do the majority of the SEC games.
How are you going to feel when Mahomes throws for 890 against your Patriots on Sunday?
I don't know if you've seen the Patriots defense, but they're very good. So I
only
don't think
690.
You can be so confident.
Oh, okay.
Oh, ooh, okay. So we want to make people go to the website and see the picks. So I don't want you to give it away, but do you have a lean on Arkansas, Mississippi State right now?
I am so in between on this pick. I don't even know what exactly I'm going to bet on that game. I like to check and make my picks on Friday. like it might have been easier with the 16 points, but now I think it's 18.
Yep.
I'm just really not sure. Arkansas, like, I just don't really think that they can go blow for blow like Mississippi State's going to want to go. Like, they're just going for maximum number of completions, and I'm just not sure Arkansas is going to be able to keep up with them, so I might have to pick Mississippi State, even though it's just so risky because it's still early. We don't know that much about Mississippi State's defense, so maybe Arkansas will match up, but I'm just not feeling it right now.
You had a couple of days to sort of take all of last weekend in, and, you know, teams make great improvements between games one and two, and you sort of get your feet under you, get into a routine. Is this team capable? I mean, everybody kind of chalked the two Mississippis and Missouri up as games that were winnable, gettable. I mean, look at this game on Saturday. This just doesn't feel like a great matchup for Arkansas's defense.
Well, when you look at what they did to LSU, it certainly doesn't. I mean, everyone knows what the air raid is capable of, but then when you combine it with, like, the Mississippi State defense was able to get 7 sacks, like, in very critical moments, so they were getting the LSU offense off the field, like, all together, it was just a recipe for success for Mike Leach, and I'm just not sure that's going to be able to happen every week. But the Arkansas defense, like, the strength of the defense is the secondary, I think, but we haven't seen them tested too much. Like, I just, like, against Stetson Bennett, I didn't think they did a great job, so I am pretty concerned. But Barry Odom also is a good schematic coach, so maybe, you know, he watches some Washington University tape and tries to replicate what they were able to do, in the Apple Bowl every year. So I don't know. I don't feel like they're really well equipped to handle the air raid, but at the same time, they showed a ton of improvement. And I just hope that, you know, with the depth that they have coming back this week, that they'll be able to play for more than 2 quarters.
Talking with Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat.com with us here on Ruskin and Zach. Yeah, let's talk about that. How does this, this is mainly the defensive side, they get helped out with depth this week, right?
Yeah. They get Jarquez McClellan back, so you get your, you know, second team cornerback back. You might not have to play your corners every single snap, which I think Monteric Brown at least did. Jerry Jacobs might have as well. And then you also, I'm not sure about Miles Mason. I think that would be huge for the safeties not having to play as much, but I think he has a hamstring injury. Can't confirm that, though. And then Mateus Lee coming back, especially with Dorian Gerald being questionable, is really huge. Zach Williams looked okay, but, you know, Soli was playing more snaps than him last season, so you just assume if he's in shape and ready to go that he'll be the better option.
So where does the offense go after? Georgia's an outlier. They're phenomenal in their front seven. Where does the offense go this week? What's the focus? Is it, or are we giving it to Rakeem Boyd 20 times? Is it going to be get the ball out in space? Find another receiver other than Treylon Burks, because I think it's more than likely that Mississippi State's going to roll coverage to him.
Well, yeah, you definitely have to get the other receivers more open and more involved. The run game, I mean, there's a chance that between Boyd and Treylon Smith, they can still put up over 100 yards rushing, but to keep up with Mississippi State scoring, which I don't know how well they're going to be able to stop, I just think they're going to have to focus on throwing the ball more. And so, yeah, those receivers really need to get it together. I didn't like how much Felipe Franks was having to, you know, move guys around and tell them what to do. Like, they should really pick it up, and if they want to run Browse offense at the tempo it is supposed to be run, then they really need to have this stuff down. And maybe it was just, you know, Georgia bringing a lot of pressure on them and being tired and stuff like that. I don't know, but the offense, you know, with the amount of time that they got to mentally prepare, like via the Zoom meetings and everything throughout the off season, you would think that they would just, like, know it like the back of their hand. But I don't know. Once you get in the game, it's different.
Yeah, it starts flying around pretty quickly, and it's flying around pretty quickly against the number 14. Like, this wasn't a opener against, you know, Eastern Illinois or anything like that. So there's that is a That was a definite factor, too, I believe, because Arkansas is usually, I mean, there's been exceptions where they open the year with a conference opponent, but usually there's a little progression. There's a little ramp-up period for Arkansas, but not this year, not in 2020.
I mean, Georgia, like, Arkansas got really lucky that Georgia ended up coming out looking like the team that was a little lost, had a lot of penalties. But Mississippi State, I don't think, is going to be like that. So they'll need to capitalize. The one thing I was truly disappointed by because of what we've seen over the last two seasons was that when they did get down to the red zone, I know they were struggling with, you know, the special teams and bad field position all game long. But once they did get to the red zone, it looked bad. I think there was, you know, a sack. There was a look to Trey Knox, and he just got immediately covered up. Like, it didn't seem like the play calling was there, and the execution wasn't there either. So that was really disappointing to me. They need to punch it in and get seven, especially against this Mississippi State offense.
The two teams that have had the most success against Mike Leach's offense the last 2 years are the University of Washington and the University of Utah. Those two teams have elite front fours and very good corners. Is that the recipe to slow down this air raid offense? Because you would think LSU had it. I just don't think their scheme was very good last week.
Yeah, you have to get the quarterback as uncomfortable as you can, and then you just cannot lose your guy. And if you're playing man, then you better not lose your guy. And if you're going to give up the pass, you have to just keep it as in front of you as you can and eliminate explosive plays. And I think that's what Barry Odom's going to try to do. Like, they may eat away at you in short yardage and chunk plays, but limit the explosive downfield plays.
Nikki Chavanel's our guest here from hogbeat.com, part of Rivals here on Ruskin and Zach. Her and Hutch got you covered with all the Razorback football stuff you need each and every week. And recruiting stuff as well. What's going on the recruiting side of your job right now?
You know, not too much. There's not a lot of activity. There was a new 2021 offer that went out this week that was very intriguing because Arkansas hasn't been offering new seniors in a long time. Like, it's been since, fall camp started when they offered the last one. So when you find a guy late in the process, you know, like, there's definitely something to him. So I talked to him. It's Ian Matthews. He's a defensive end. He plays at a 1A private school in Georgia. And he's 6'5", 275, and hardly anyone has ever heard of him. He has offers from Duke, Virginia Tech, and Arkansas now, and Georgia Tech is also waiting on some more tape. It's really tough for these coaches not being able to evaluate, because if you turn on Matthew's tape, I mean, the 1A competition definitely shows, but the coaches told him they like his size and the way that he moves in his 6'5", 275 frame, so that's one I'll be watching. He said he might have to, you know, go out on the road and get these visits done on his own, but you know, now that he has options, he has to figure that out, and it's better than not having options, that's for sure.
6'5", 275, and no one's heard of him?
Yeah, I guess I talked to the analyst, and he said he didn't even hear of, like, the school that he went to, so he actually set something up with him to go see him either at the end of this week or beginning of next week, because that's just really rare in a private school. It makes sense. He said that, you know, the football in, like, 8th and 9th grade, which is not very organized at all. So they got a new coach last season, and he's just now getting his name out.
Is he in Algiers? I mean,
it's not Neon Bordeaux. No, it's not from Blue.
Algiers!
That's right. all right, Nikki Chavanel, hogbeat.com, her and Hutch got the well, in our biased opinion, the best, Razorback coverage that you can get on the web. Any specials going on right now?
You know, our really great 50% off deal ended on Sunday, but if you missed out on that and you want to try the site, you can always use code HAWGS30 and try us out for 30 days free.
Okay. Hogbeat.com, part of Rivals. Thank you, Nikki.
Thanks, guys.
Nikki Chavanel from Hogbeat with us here on Ruskin and Zach. All right. Catching an update for you here. It is now, hold on, 4-2 Cardinal
fans. Dougie Mountain Home's gotten awfully quiet.
They are stress eating right now, yeah. Cardinal fans.
He was more than happy to let us know they were up 4-0. Haven't heard from him since.
They are stress eating right now. And also, Tampa Bay's in front of Toronto, 8-2 in the fifth.
Go Rays!
Woo! And, Oakland's in front of the White Sox, 5-2 in the eighth as well.
All right. Coach Neighbors, he is our IMDb. We were talking about fictional quarterbacks in movies. He says the best is Shane Falco.
Okay.
He also said that Uncle Rico's in the top 10 because he says having your own VHS tape is very important. So all you recruits That's right. out there have your own VHS tape.
You know, I hate he made movie. The noises, too. That movie is not very
Napoleon
good.
Napoleon Dynamite doesn't is hold up. So overrated.
Yeah, it's not very good.
It's like it became this cult classic, and everybody thought it was cool to like it.
It was goofy for a while, and then it was like, it's not any good.
You want a better cult movie? Go watch Little Miss Sunshine.
I've seen that. That's good.
With Greg Kinnear?
Yes.
That's
Steve
funny.
Steve Carell?
Yes. Steve Carell.
Abigail Breslin?
Steve Carell is a phenomenal actor. And in this movie, he doesn't even speak. He doesn't speak.
Alan Arkin's in it.
Yeah. And Hank from Breaking Bad is in it. He's the cop.
Oh, yeah. Dean Norris
is in it.
Right.
You want to watch a funny movie? Little Miss Sunshine is hysterical.
I like that movie a lot. That's a movie that I think I got to that movie during the quarantine.
Did you?
When nothing was happening. I was finding movies that I've always wanted to see that I didn't get to, and that was one of them. Like, yeah, all right, this was worth it. This
Here's a text on the 479 says, we haven't watched Napoleon Dynamite enough to
I've watched it enough to know
I watched
sucks.
It one time, right. and that was enough. Trust me.
Don't come in here defending Napoleon Dynamite.
That movie is so... But look, there are cult movies that you can like Office Space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fine...
Half-Baked, Dave Chappelle.
Phenomenal.
Great movie. Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite sucks.
Yes.
The whole vote for Pedro thing, just stop.
Well, what is a cult movie? Like, is Animal House a cult movie?
No, that's National Lampoon's.
Okay, but...
Rocky Horror Picture Show used to be a cult movie, but then it became so played out.
That's what I'm saying, is that some of these movies... How do you define a cult movie? When it came out and it flopped and then later it became popular?
Like the greatest Christmas movie ever made, A Christmas Story.
And it was not a success at
the
box office.
It was brutally bad at the box office, That's but right. it has made billions running on TNT for 24 hours. That's what I do. I love that movie. I watched that movie in July.
No, you're the one.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Did we even see the final scene? No, I didn't make it that far because the movie sucked.
I've seen every frame of that movie. It's awful. I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. I mean, I thought it was. I'm like most of the masses. Like in 05 or 04, whenever that thing came out, it comes out and you're like, yeah, this is different. It's kind of quirky, funny, and then you're like, I don't like this anymore. Like, that's not what I'm stopping on when I'm flipping through the channels. Like, no. Shawshank, I'm stopping.
Absolutely.
Okay? Casino, I'm stopping. I'm not stopping for the Napoleon Dynamite.
Now, if Jeremiah and Cedarville says The Big Lebowski.
I'm stopping for that. I like that movie.
That's where I learned what a white Russian was.
That's right.
That's how I learned that.
Caucasian.
The Dude.
That's right. The Dude.
That's Jeff Bridges. That's Roadhouse. Best cult movie. I don't know if that's a cult movie. That was a pretty big box office success, Roadhouse.
Oh, yeah, with Kurt Russell.
Right.
And,
No, Swayze.
Swayze?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It was the dead one. Swayze's dead.
That's right.
That was Ghost. No, he's dead there. Well, he's actually dead in real life as well, you know. Swayze.
No.
Yes.
What?
No.
Patrick Swayze's dead?
Oh, my God.
When? I mean, I know he hadn't done anything in a while. When did Patrick Swayze die?
Like years ago.
He died in 2009. You are on top of pop culture, Zach. I'm telling you. When did Patrick Swayze die? 11 years ago.
Patrick Swayze died 11 years ago? Yes. How did I miss that?
That's a great question. Where were you in 2009?
How the hell did I miss Patrick Swayze dying?
It was kind of a big deal in the news, you know?
No way.
Yes.
2009?
Yes. I think he was sick.
He was, yes. Cancer.
Hold on. There's no way.
No.
But it couldn't have been 2000. Yeah, not 2009.
No. Pancreatic cancer got him.
I had no idea Patrick Swayze was dead. Well, my afternoon's ruined.
You know, Michael Landon's dead, too, by the way. Did you know that?
That one I did
Okay,
know.
That was 30 years ago. I didn't know if you're... What is the last famous person you remember passing away? Elvis?
Estelle Getty?
Estelle Getty.
He died in 2009?
That's correct, yes.
I had no idea.
I can't believe that you... I mean, it's one thing if, like, an obscure, like, character actor that you would recognize his face, and you're like, oh, he's dead? Oh, darn. But Patrick Swayze was, like, a major star.
Wow.
I got another one for you. You know, Farrah Fawcett's dead. Did you know that?
That I did know.
Okay, all right.
I know, like, Michael Jackson died 10 years ago.
Yes.
It doesn't seem... Prince died, what, 7 years ago? Six, 7 years ago?
I thought it was less than that.
I had absolutely no... Patrick Swayze's dead.
Yes. He is, still.
Huh. Wow. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hey, guess what I learned today? I'm going to need a minute.
Now these are these texts are flying in. Hey, Zach, Kennedy's dead. Dealey Plaza. You may have heard of it.
Does Zach know Bill Paxton's dead? Yes. Chris Farley's dead, too?
Chris Farley's dead.
And Justin said we landed on the moon. Thank you.
Well, John Belushi's dead, too. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
No. That was 82. That was 38 years ago.
I had no idea.
All right.
Huh.
Lincoln, dead. Didn't know if you knew where I heard that. All right.
Wow.
Okay. Do an SEC report in a moment. It's Ruskin and Zach. So yesterday, we figured out that Zach didn't know about a celebrity death from 11 years ago. So, now, and we need your help on this. Because Zach and DQ are going to be playing for one of you. So get on the phone, 866-285-4005. You have to call us for this. Okay?
Yeah, first winning can claim who you want.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't claim me.
And we'll get two contestants on the line, and one of you will be paired with Zach, and the other will be with DQ, and we're going to do the dead celebrity game. I have picked out 10, five each, and we will do this, you know, soccer shootout style. So we'll do, like, each of you do one, and then we'll go to the second round and all that stuff.
Okay, now are you going to ask us the same celebrity and then give us the answer at the end?
No, I've got different celebrities.
Different celebrities. See, now that could be rigged.
It's not rigged.
I feel like it is.
It's not rigged. All right. So we're going to play.
She's registering the callers right now.
Okay. So we've got David on the line, and we'll see who our other contestant is. We have our two contestants. Don't call. Don't call! All right, stop!
We're done.
All right. Celebrity dead or alive here on Ruskin Attack. David wants DQ, so our other
smart play,
caller
David.
Will,
smart play.
Will be with Zach. And what are we going to give the winner here? We got a gift certificate we can give away?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do.
The winner gets a gift certificate to...
And a t-shirt.
We'll give them both t-shirts. Why not?
Okay. We'll give them both gift certificates just for, you know...
Well, then what's the incentive in winning here?
It's the victory.
Okay. Bragging rights.
Right.
You can tell your friends you won a contest on the radio.
All right. I'm done with John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Quiet that down.
I'm working on it. I think I lost it.
Okay. All right.
There it is.
So we have David and Jason on the line. Right. David will be with DQ.
Jason will be with Zach.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
I think DQ should go first.
DQ, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right. I have a list of celebrities who are both dead and alive, and you have to determine which is which. All right. DQ, we're starting with you. Tony Bennett, the great singer. Is Tony Bennett dead or alive?
Alive.
That is correct. Tony Bennett is alive.
Yes.
I think he's in his 90s, I believe.
Huh. Okay.
That's a point for DQ.
All right.
All right, Zach.
I don't like this.
Zach, you have Corey Haim.
Oh, he's dead.
That is correct.
That I knew.
All right. All right, so it's 1-1.
Yes.
After the first round here. Okay. DQ. Bernie Mac.
Alive.
Bernie Mac is dead.
I don't even know who that is.
He's a comedian.
The great comedian. The original Kings of Comedy, right?
Was it Mr. 3000?
Yes, that's
when
right.
When he was with the Milwaukee Brewers?
Yes. All right. So it is. So, Zach, you can take the lead.
I can take the lead here.
Okay.
All the pressure.
Okay. Gorbachev.
He's dead.
Gorbachev is alive.
What?
We remain 1-1.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
He is alive. Yes. He's also in his 80s or 90s or somewhere. He's way up there.
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing?
So it's 1-1. We're going to... No one scored in that round. We're going to the third round here. All right.
Mikhail Gorbachev, the guy with the map of Albania on it.
That's right. Yes. He's alive. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. DQ. Eric Clapton.
Slow hand.
Is he dead?
Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton's alive.
Yeah.
All right. Zach,
okay,
again, you can
take
the lead.
All right, here we go.
Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Simmons.
I made Richard Simmons cry at the Walmart shareholders meeting one year.
Who hasn't? But go on.
Richard Simmons. Richard Simmons is dead.
Richard Simmons is alive. He's a recluse, but he's alive. All right, so no one scored in two or three. It's still 1-1 going to the fourth round here.
This isn't good.
No.
This isn't good.
We suck at this.
DQ. Amy Winehouse.
She's dead.
That's correct.
That's easy.
It was? I didn't know if you knew who Amy Winehouse was.
I know who Amy Winehouse is.
Okay, so it's 2-1 DQ.
Uh-huh.
Zach?
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell. The Rhinestone Cowboy.
Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
The singer.
Yes.
Did he do Amarillo by Morning?
No, that's George Strait.
Country song, man. Glenn Campbell's dead.
That is correct.
Yes! Yes!
All right, it's 2-2. Going to the fifth round.
Yeah!
Feel the tension on your radios right now, folks. This is absolutely incredible. All right. DQ, Your Honor. Ian McKellen.
Who is this?
Sir Ian McKellen.
Can you use that in a sentence?
The great actor. He was in the X-Men movies and a bunch of other things. Ian McKellen.
Is he dead?
Ian McKellen is alive. Incorrect. Okay.
Here we go.
Dang, you said he was in. As in.
Well, he wasn't, but the X-Men movies came out a long time ago. So, you know. And 2020's been not kind to anybody. All right.
Scott just texted in and he said, technically, no one can prove Gene Simmons is alive or dead. It was Richard Simmons, correct?
That's Richard Simmons.
Okay,
thanks for ruining the bit, Scott. All right.
All right. Well, okay. Chance to win here.
All right. This is Zach for the win.
Yes. Bring it.
Okay. Here we go.
Yes.
Doc Severinsen, the band leader for
Johnny Carson show,
the NBC orchestra.
Oh, man. Doc Severinsen. He was old then. Doc Severance has got to be dead.
For the game, Doc Severinsen is still alive in his 90s.
Doc Severinsen is like 114
years old.
He's
like 92. Old.
I'm going to need to see a DNA test. I don't believe that he is still around.
So we are tied.
Oh, my God.
And we are going to overtime.
You knew this was coming.
I did
know. You knew this was going to overtime.
It's good that you prepared extras.
I do have a few extras.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, DQ, Peter Jennings. The great news anchor, ABC News.
Canadian.
Peter Jennings.
Is he dead?
Well, you tell me. You're answering the questions.
This isn't Jeopardy.
Dead.
DQ has the lead. Peter Jennings is dead. The lung cancer got him.
Oh, my God, the pressure.
All right, now, Zach, you need this to stay in the game and force double overtime.
There are people yelling at their radio right now.
Joe Frazier.
Smoking Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead.
That's correct. We are tied.
Yes.
Okay. So we are tied.
The clock's winding down here.
Now, here's the problem.
Uh-huh.
I have one more name on my list, and we have two rounds.
Participation trophies for everybody.
Okay.
DQ. Don't mess this up.
DQ.
Noonan.
DQ. Mike Wallace. 60 mm-hmm. Minutes.
He's alive.
Incorrect.
No!
Incorrect. Mike Wallace is dead. Okay, Zach.
Here it is.
You can win this.
Yes.
Don't screw up.
You can win this right here.
Bring it.
I have, now this is a tricky one.
Okay.
Because this person.
This is the tricky one?
This person is, or was, I don't know which, but when she was in the public limelight, she was very young. So we don't know what, Lindsay Lohan, dead or alive.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
Oh, she's very much alive.
He wins.
What?
Zach wins.
Take that, you Gen Zers!
You see, I thought I would trick you up there because, yeah, she had all those problems, right? But no.
Right.
All right.
I think she's in Dubai right
Lindsay
now.
Lindsay Lohan was the only person, besides Amy Winehouse, on that list that I know, that I actually knew.
Guessing the whole way and got it to triple overtime.
Get
double overtime.
Get Jason's information.
Well done. Well done, DQ. Thank you, David and Jason, for playing with us on the phone. Jason will win the prize.
Yes.
And David will get the consolation prize, which is a t-shirt or something else. All right. That's how we play.
Woo-hoo!
Celebrity Dead or Alive here on Ruskin and Zach.
Yeah!
Razorback talk show designed for smart fans. This is Ruskin and Zach.
We are back. It is 26 to the hour here on Ruskin and Zach, and it's time to check in now with Dudley Dawson, Whole Hog Sports, Hogs Illustrated, here on Ruskin and Zach. Dudley, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Good. Enjoying, we're watching baseball here while we do the show. Same. It feels like we're stealing money right now.
Same here. enjoying it. Tomorrow there are 16,
Eight games. Everybody plays tomorrow.
16 teams, yeah.
It's awesome.
Should be a holiday.
Should be. Is this better than the first day of the NCAA tournament?
I wouldn't go that far. But the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament are just, the stuff you just can't miss. I might could miss one of these, eight games tomorrow, but I wouldn't miss any NCAA tournament games those first 2 days.
Zach and I are of the opinion there's only one thing better than, like, playoff-type sports during the daytime.
Only one.
During the week. One, you know, thing. What I mean? There's only one thing better than that.
Yes.
That's
thank you.
So,
whether it's during the daytime, nighttime,
anyway. Whenever that happens.
Whenever it happens.
That's right.
Whenever
that's
you get
right.
the little presto bingo,
we get a ding on that. There you go. All right. You can't hit the bell so hard, Zach. It's nothing.
I just wanted to be emphatic about it.
All right. Thank you. You are heard. Dudley, you've obviously seen the first game. What's your take on what we saw on Saturday?
Well, in the end, it's a loss. That's 20 SEC games in a row, and they've won 8 out of the last 37 overall games. So, you can look at it as a little bit more of the same. But I did see some things that were positive. The players look like they were listening to the coaches. That's an improvement. Some of the things could probably be written off because of rest or just not being out there playing for a year. There are also some things, obviously, special teams wise, offensive line, so many other things you're going to have to clean up. But I would say this: if you went into the season wanting to be hopeful that they're getting better, you probably left that game, especially if you left at halftime, feeling real good about it. Yeah, but if you went through the second half, then you probably saw some of the problems you hope that they're going to be fixed and weren't that first game. So I would say if you want to be happy, you can. If you want to be pissed off, it's easy to do that too.
What kind of grade would you give Kendall Briles week one?
Well, let's give F for the time and place on the special, on the trick play. I mean, I think there are times and places for that, and I think they can work well. But after you've gained 30 yards on the previous play, maybe it's not the best time. I think he showed some creativity, but at times that creativity is not called for. I think he'll settle in and be be what he has been at other places. But I did find it interesting, and I know y'all touched on this on Monday, that he was calling the offensive coordinator and made it clear that he wanted some better plays called in some better situations.
Yeah, that was and then anytime Pittman unprovoked while he was talking about the offense, he says, "I'm not blaming them for this." Well, you're calling him onto the carpet here a little bit, and you have every right to as the head coach, I guess.
Yeah, that's using wife talk instead of coach talk.
That's right. <yeah. laughs>
the thing I would say is that I think Bri, it's probably easy to get a sense of thinking you're better than you are when you're going up against yourself in practice and just in simulated situations. It's a whole different thing when you're going up against one of the better defenses in the country. Georgia's offense was not that good last week, unless Arkansas helped them out. I think they'll be better against Auburn this week because you get better between that first game and second game. But, obviously the coaching has some things. They'll shore up and the players do too, I'm sure. I was just talking to an offensive lineman recruited, Eli Henderson from South Carolina, that's a junior that Arkansas has recruited, and he seemed positive about what they said, what they're doing. And he said, well, that is the worst thing that they're going to do. And I thought, well, you haven't watched previous years, but if that's the worst thing they're going to do, then he feels like they're going to be able to go up from there. So, again, I do feel like there's things from that both the coaching and playing side can do better. I do feel like they're going to prove as the season goes along, because I believe they've got a better staff, and those guys will develop them better than have been here lately. But then again, man, they could go 0-10 and be better.
Ooh. Zach doesn't agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all. You are what your record says you are.
Well, yes, but, you know, 2-2 what was it, last
2-10
and 2-10 the year before, they weren't really a 2-win team. They were a no-win team, and somehow they got 2 wins. So.
It's a transactional business.
Yeah, I agree.
0 wins is not better than 2. So
I agree. I agree with that. You know, they did teach that in Newport. So.
So how do you walk out on special teams with 10 guys? Not once, but twice?
Well, the you know, during the preseason, when we talked to Scott Fountain and different things, he wanted to have, I think it was, starters on at least 3 of the special teams. If you're a starter on offensive defense, he still wanted you to be on at least 3 special teams. My only thing that I can guess is that somebody who was out there playing offense and defense came out to the sideline, forgot what he was doing, because I know they, you know, I've watched them stress these things during the valued 15 minutes or so we get to, you know, get to watch them practice. I'd see them practice them and know what they're doing. So I'm going to maybe, you know, talk that up to maybe one of the starters not being out there when he's supposed to. But then again, that falls at the hands or feet of the, in this case, the coaches. So, you know,
it's the last thing you do in your walkthrough.
I agree. If it happens this week, then you got some serious problems. If it doesn't happen this week, then I'm going to say that was probably a player error that has to be drummed into their head more by the coaches.
We're talking with Dudley Dawson here on Ruskin and Zach.
I mean, special teams were a mess, and they've got, I mean, 20 yards per punt return, 45 yards per kick return, and a very inauspicious start for a guy who was brought in here to fix all of the special teams problems.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will as he goes along. But guys, hey, none of the special team plays were on ESPN on the not top 10, so you know.
Wow, we've really lowered the bar.
Well, the other thing that was possible, I guess, is, you know, if one of these special teams units, Dudley, loses somebody because of a you know, one of these COVID deals, one day, like Pittman talked about this a little bit, one day they're there, next day they're not. If that was the case, if you're in charge of that, wouldn't you, like, go above and beyond to make sure? Now, remember, you're in now because, you know, Jimmy's out, so make sure you know what you need to be doing when, you know, we're on punt coverage or whatever the case may be.
Yes, I'm not making excuses. It falls at the hands of the coaches and all that. I'm just saying that, you know, game day for the first time in a year for all these people. There were, you know, a lot of errors on the Georgia side as well, and I don't see – I think that coaching staff's really good. I think it's proven it's really good. They didn't start the right quarterback, obviously, or no. At least he had a deer in the headlights going there. And I know that JT Daniels is probably going to be the quarterback down the line, you know, as he gets healthy and all that. But the again, not making excuses, but if you want a reason why it happened, that might be it.
Well, a little surprised that Simeon Blair moves to the top of the depth chart over Joe Fouché, and then Xavier Kelly, who a lot of people were very excited about, now running with the twos.
No, because those people didn't get it. Let's say they didn't get as many practices as they wanted to leading up to the game because they were out of pocket for a while. How's that?
Okay, way to tap dance around that one.
No, I'll say this. There were several people. I mean, reports were there 15 to 25 people going into the week that, you know, the last couple of weeks, I should say, that might have not been able to play. There still was, what, I think 12 or so that didn't play. You can't have them out there practicing while they're quarantining. No disrespect to Simeon Blair, and I guess that's what you say when you're about to disrespect somebody. Joe Fouché, you know, if he hadn't come back to practice just on Thursday, I'm sure he'd be there. I'm sure he's going to start this week. Miles Mason, Xavier Kelly, the others. I think we'll see everybody pretty much out there this week if testing goes okay.
We're talking about Dudley Dawson here on Ruskin and Zach. Are we given too much credit for the whole, pretty much the whole organization just looking competent in a game? Because people seem to be awfully thrilled that it just kind of, in a way, looked like everybody knew what they were doing, and they still, you know, lost 37-10.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. That tells you again how far it's fallen, how used to the fans and they've gotten used to losing, want to lose well now instead of big. there's different degrees of losing, I guess, but it is, as y'all been talking about, it ends up being a loss either way. But again, I go back, in this ball game, especially in the first half, if you wanted to see some things that you thought maybe would have hope for the future and that the, you want to be happy about, you could. If you wanted to just gripe about the entire game, you could do that as well. The one thing I will say, nobody was promising hammer down left lane. They I think even after this game, they know even more how big a challenge they have.
Everybody going into the game was very excited about Felipe Franks. And I think we saw some flashes, but I get the feeling that his success, and quite honestly, the offense's success, is going to be more contingent on the five guys up front. And there were times last year, even on the touchdown pass that Franks threw, left tackle got blown up. Franks has to, he has to escape to the right. And Georgia's defensive back he has his eyes in the backfield. He watches Burks run right by him. But that group up front wasn't good on Friday. 28 carries, 77 yards. They've got to get better. Now, Georgia's, that may be an outlier. You're not going to see a team like that until you go play Alabama again. Do you expect them to improve this week and be able to actually run the football?
I do against Mississippi State because I don't think Mississippi State has a great defense. And I think, Raheem Boyd will have a chance to get over 100 yards. I don't think Arkansas is going to win the ball game, but I think their offense will look better. But here's what I would say about the offensive line. He won't come out and say it, but Coach Pittman, when he got here, had to look at that group of offensive linemen and go, are you kidding? I left this thing in pretty good shape in 2015, but are you kidding me? The fact that there are so many new starters, guys who've never even taken a snap that started on this line, or at least their key backups, tells you that the evaluation of offensive linemen by the previous staff was horrible. And he knows what he wants to get. He's in the process of getting those in these last two recruiting classes. I expect, I just said he's going to play freshman, but I expect there'll be some of these highly touted offensive linemen that they got last year that are going to start to see more time as they go along, because he sees a ceiling in them. And he's talked about how if it's a younger guy up against an older guy, and the younger guy's going to make mistakes, and going to help me be better down the line, then that's what I'm going to do. So, just about at every position, these coaches had to walk in and go, are you kidding?
Wow. Sam Pittman mentioned yesterday that Mike Woods, in particular, Trey Knox, got to get open. This has been a continuing problem since last year. These guys can't get off the line of scrimmage against quality SEC corners. Now, Treylon Burks is an outlier there. Hudson Henry had a rough day. How far are these guys away from being quality SEC-type receivers? Because as well as I do, they're gonna roll coverage to Treylon Burks, and then what do you do?
Yeah, again, I would go back to the previous staff, and I think that's part of the fault for that as well. I do think that we saw things from Trey Knox last year that we know that he can play football. We know that Mike Woods can play football. They certainly were reportedly called out by their head coach, which is interesting. I think when a new coach does it, it's getting on them in the right way. When Ted Morris did it last year, it was getting on in a bad way, but that's the honeymoon period or whatever there. But I don't worry about Trey Knox too much. I think he's a good athlete. I think he can get a lot of things done. But one catch for 3 yards is not what you expect out of him. Back to your Felipe Franks, thing. I think there were some good throws there. My colleague Scotty Borderline did a look at all his passes, and I think 21 out of 36 passes were accurate throws, ones that should have been called or could have been called. There were 3 drops. Obviously, there should have been 3 interceptions, but there was 2. And a lot of the downfield passing left a lot to be desired. Again, I'm going to wait a minute and reserve judgment when Georgia's not on the other side of the field, but there are going to be a lot of guys, good SEC defenses. But it was certainly a lukewarm start at best.
All right. You ever used a Preparation H to get rid of bags under your eyes?
No, but I Vicks Vapor Rub. I have put up my nose before to get congestion out of there, and now I can't smell anything.
I've done the Vicks too. Yeah,
yeah. I've done it. It works really well.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Dudley Dawson, Whole Hog Sports, Hogs Illustrated. Thank you, sir.
You think it, they say it. This is Ruskin and Zach.
All right, we're back here at 26 till the hour here on Ruskin and Zach. Hope everybody's doing okay. So we're moving the picks to Thursday because there is football
there's
tonight.
Tonight
is not a great example, but there is a game tonight.
Oh, so. Self-disclosure?
Yeah.
We moved them to Thursday to accommodate me.
Okay.
Because Fridays are a little hectic around here, and this works better for my schedule.
Okay.
But if you want to say there's football tonight, sure.
That'll be the public reason that we did this.
Well, Friday we had to run out of here every time.
You're doing wind sprints out of here.
That's right. Yeah.
To get to places.
Get to a football game.
But we're in the same place. Who's driving tomorrow? I ride with you?
Oh, no.
Why?
No, I'm not going to listen to you complain about me driving for 45 minutes.
You drive like a senior citizen.
That's going to say he's probably driving like
a grandma. I followed him last year. What, 2 years ago? 2 years? No,
I had
last
cars
year.
In front
it was
of
last
me.
Year. No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
I was right behind you.
No.
You are a senior citizen. I followed you to a basketball game.
Hey, by the way, what was this? You were knocking on people over 50 in the last segment.
He's talking what?
I'm 58,
what?
Dude.
You're 58.
What was I talking about? Hold on a second.
Oh, you were talking about 50-year-old Oscar
De La Hoya fighting. Yeah, but you're not a boxer, Robert. So you were immune to the...
I'm a young 58.
Exactly. I feel 29. How do you feel?
12.
20.
Oh, you meant physically instead of mentally. Okay.
Oh, physically, you're 84. But I'm 29.
I'm great. Thanks for asking.
I did.
Life's good. Life's good over here. I don't know about you all.
All right. We got the picks.
We do.
What do you got?
So we brought, I'm on a crusade to prove that there's basically nothing scientific about this.
Right.
DQ knows nothing about football, apparently, but she is running, she's still in our eliminator pool. So I handed her the list. I told her she was going to do it yesterday. I handed her the list 2 hours ago.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, I need a pick and a reason. And she looked at me and said, a reason? Yeah. I don't care if it has anything to do, I don't care if it's the color of the uniforms.
Yeah, I have my reason.
Okay, great.
All right.
Hey, in the Final Four, people pick on the uniforms and they usually come out
that's
pretty
right.
good.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to start with we'll go chronologically here. We're going to start with the game tonight, which if you watch it, I don't know why you're doing this. Thursday Night Football, NFL, it's Denver at the Jets, both teams 0-3. You want to offer first?
Me?
Yeah.
You may have to bleach your eyeballs after this one. That's all I got for
okay.
you. I don't know who's going to win.
Thank you.
7-3. Somebody wins.
Who? I mean, offer a pick, man. Take a side.
I'm going Broncos.
All right,
Jets are a tire fire.
So are the Donkeys.
True. The Jets are worse.
All right. Right.
They're in New York.
Home team Jets.
Okay.
That's the only reason I'm picking that, too.
Everybody be quiet. Here we go. DQ. The Broncos or the Jets?
I've been to New York City. I've never been to Denver, so I'm going to pick the Jets.
Okay.
Good answer.
Do you know what the mascot for the Carolina NFL team is?
Yeah, they're like a cat or something.
We'll allow it.
Panther's
a feline, right?
Yeah, we'll allow it. All right, let's move on to some college football.
Is that the same phylum?
Yes, class.
Kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
Wow, just went through seventh grade science class. let's go with Texas A&M at Alabama.
Woo!
We'll start with DQ. Have you been to Alabama?
I almost went to the University of Alabama.
Boo,
so traitor.
I'll
boo.
Pick Alabama.
Boo. Did you get in or no? Did
yeah, I was going to go, but...
Did they require French?
No.
They required beer.
So, well, she's been okay there, but not with the French thing. A&M, Alabama. Who you got, Robert?
Bammer. I don't think I think A&M's highly overrated.
Okay. You want in on this?
Yeah. Bama, close.
Closer than the
really?
Experts
Closer
think?
Than the experts think.
Really?
I think A&M was sleepwalking last week.
All right. Let's go with the South's oldest rivalry, Gus against Kirby.
Oh, boy.
Auburn's at Georgia. Robert?
Georgia big. I don't think Auburn's got it going on. I think Georgia big.
You just don't like Chad Morris.
Well, nobody does.
You're not supposed to mention his name anymore.
You know what? After what you did to me last week, I can do whatever I want.
Chad, you know, did he and Gus wind up fisticuffs last
week? No, they just got into a discussion over whether or not that Chad sucks at his job.
Which we all know.
We know this to be true.
We could have told him that if they listened.
Mm-hmm. Auburn and Georgia, who you got?
Yeah, I'm looking at these numbers here.
I don't know how you can pick Georgia big based on what they did last
year. I'm going to go Georgia. I don't know if it's big. They're going to cover the 6.5, though. Georgia will win.
Mm.
That's what I got.
Piggy Smalls wants to know if you know that the Jets don't play in New York.
Mm.
I did not.
Do you know where they play?
No.
What exit is that?
16. 16W, actually.
16W, East Rutherford.
East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Or is it Secaucus?
No, it is not Secaucus. Okay. That's where WWOR is.
Used to be.
Auburn at Georgia. Who you got?
So both coaches wear visors. So Kirby Smart looked better in a visor than Gus did. So I'm picking Georgia.
All right.
That's a good answer.
I love this. Three Georgias here on the panel.
I hate to ask this. Arkansas is at Mississippi State, 6:30, SEC alternate.
This is straight up?
This is straight up.
All right. You're making me do this on Thursday?
I'm going to make you do it on a Thursday.
I got Mississippi State.
You got a whole show tomorrow to change my mind.
Yeah,
Mississippi
exactly.
State. Robert?
Well, you know I'm going to Arkansas, and I have a way, but we'll save that for later.
Okay. DQ?
Yeah, Mississippi State.
Why?
That's your school, DQ.
Yeah, you're betting against your alma mater.
My school, too, I guess.
It's not my alma mater yet.
Well, yeah, you got to get through French.
I would have said that it would have been Arkansas might have had a chance, but watching them against LSU last week.
Wow, that's an unbiased opinion right there.
But that's why I'm picking Arkansas, because I don't think LSU has it together. I think they lost way more than what they thought, and I think they only had 8 starters from last year play. So, in my opinion, I don't think LSU's got it together. Of course they'll have it together by the time they come to Fayetteville.
Absolutely.
That's the way it goes, yeah.
Hey, DQ, could we suggest maybe majors that might be easier that don't require French, like architecture, maybe some engineering?
Yeah, I think it's the school I'm in, because I'm in Fulbright, and I think Fulbright requires
French
of language.
Fulbright College of Arts
French
and Sciences.
On my own.
As the knight in the Indiana Jones movie said, you chose poorly. let's move on to the NFL. I love this game. Cleveland at Dallas. The mistake on the lake. The only city in the United States that ever had a river catch on fire, taking on Dallas at Arlington. You ever been to Jerry's World?
Beautiful place.
DQ, who do you got?
I guess Dallas. I like the city of Dallas.
She said confidently.
They don't play in Dallas. So.
No, they do not. They play in Arlington in a parking lot right next to Globe Life.
Their stadium is really nice. So.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
It's across the street from a Walmart.
I went to the A&M Arkansas game last year.
Oh, did you? Okay. And by the way...
So if you ever run out of batteries while you're tailgating, you can run over to Walmart.
Yeah. I went to a concert last year at Globe Life.
Yeah.
And the concert got out at about like 11:30. And there was not an Uber to be found anywhere. 50,000 people showed up to see Paul McCartney at Globe Life. Not an Uber to be found.
Oh.
That's just bad marketing.
I saw McCartney at Texas, at Cowboy Stadium. So
he's the best. Who you got?
He's
Cleveland
awesome.
At Dallas.
I'm going Browns.
Why? Cowboys look totally lost.
But you hate Baker Mayfield. I do, but listen. The Cowboys look
totally
inept.
You hate Odell Beckham.
True.
You like what he does. You hate him as a football player.
Are they letting people in that game?
Yeah, you can get a ticket on StubHub for $220.
And it's a bad seat?
Yeah, it's in the...
Well, you watch the game on TV. Might as well do that at home.
$220 for a Cowboys ticket. I paid $300 for my Cotton Bowl seats. I was in the fourth row.
Mm.
So, who you got? Cleveland and Dallas.
I'm going to take the Browns because I can't root for anything out of Texas right now. I was going to say Dallas, and then it occurred to me that that's where the Longhorns are in Texas, that is, so I can't root for them.
But right now, you can't.
Okay. Right now.
Right now.
I may change.
That could change.
I'm 58. I can change my mind.
You can also just forget. that happens. All right. And the game that I'm actually most interested in the NFL over the weekend is your New England Patriots. Nicky Chavanel's New England Patriots taking on Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick.
You can't call him Pat.
Mom will yell at you.
Yeah, Mom will send a nasty gram. The Chefs are at home taking on the Patriots in the marquee game of the NFL weekend. DQ?
Kansas City.
Why?
Because
Patrick, I liked your first reason.
You started there. Patrick Mahomes is about to have a baby, so that's nice.
So you're saying he's going to score again?
No,
Robert.
Don't go there. Great googly moogly. I'm picking the Chiefs.
You want to be the? You want to break this? You want to go in the opposite direction? Be the contrarian?
No, I can't.
The Chiefs look good.
I gotta go with the Chiefs.
Okay,
that's a juggernaut. That is a. That's secretary at the Belmont. That's an incredible machine right now.
All right, we'll do one bonus pick just because it involves you and me. Springdale's at Bentonville West. We'll recuse ourselves because...
Oh, we will?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You're not going to pick...
I already got that game picked out.
You do? What you got?
Springdale ain't going to win.
Thanks.
Springdale's 0-4.
I saw Farmington whip them.
Springdale's 0-4 against West all time.
That's a gross mischaracterization of the facts.
Farmington.
Yes, I know.
They beat Springdale.
We can get into semantics.
The final score was Farmington on top.
That's right. Who had more points at the end?
That's immaterial.
DQ, who you got?
I guess Bentonville West because, I
there's
mean,
a woman
Springdale
with integrity.
Did lose to Farmington. I mean, Elkins beats Farmington.
I mean, of all
sometimes.
The people, of all the people, I took you under my wing.
One of these days, he's going to shatter that window, and I'm going to have a 15-minute laughing fit.
I'll tell you what.
Then there's more paperwork.
If I shatter that window with an empty Dr. Pepper bottle, I'm going to the majors tomorrow.
You know how this place is built.
Well, no, what would happen is a wall would fall over. It wouldn't break the glass. A wall would just go over. So those are your picks, and we'll count them up on Monday.
Yeah.
So we have somebody under 5 foot next week.
Yes, somebody under 5 foot who will be doing the picks next
week. And it won't be.
No.
Never mind. We're not going to say that.
Okay. That no, was I'm funny.
Have to, that, no, that's too easy.
We keep a booster seat in here for such events.
Oh, okay.
No, put them in a dental chair or something like that. All right. There you have it. There's the picks.
There's the picks.